Are you with your Bibles? We are discussing on the same topic, the vine and the branches. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy quickly. I just want us to take it up from there. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. It says, before we get reading, you know, just a little summary of what we've been saying. We said spiritual growth comes from proper explanation of the scriptures. Remember, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it said, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Now we said spiritual growth comes from proper explanation of the scripture. We also look at the fact that every explanation of the scripture, that is, must be centered on Christ, must be Christocentric, right? Hallelujah. And I said, we went ahead to say the explanation of the scripture, I don't know if it is in this teaching or in the teaching of the new birth. I guess it was on the new birth. And then we said, the explanation is the same, it's singular. Hallelujah. The explanation is singular. That is to say, since it is centered on Christ, the message is the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, those who have diverse doctrines or who hold diverse doctrine will just be seen as propagating their own selfish work. Glory to God. So Jesus also bore witness of this fact in Luke chapter 24, which we saw when he said, chapter 24, he said, "O foolish ones, not to have to believe in all that the prophet has written. Hallelujah. Say, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, they say, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Hallelujah. And if you read further, he now said, he opened their understanding. And we say the word to open your understanding, to open is the word diagnogio, which means to, we said, is to open something that was previously closed. Hallelujah. You know, diagnogio means to cut through what was enclosed. All the while it was used in the scripture, used for something that was closed, that was made open. Hallelujah. Jesus opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. Diagnogio. Hallelujah. Something that was previously closed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and also we said that the epistles are the explanations of the Old Testament's writing. Meaning, when I look into the Old Testament, I must explain it in the light of the epistles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the light of the epistles, how it was explained in the epistles, how Christ explained them, how the apostles spoke about them. We must leave it that way. Don't try to exaggerate. Don't try to bring in anything. Hallelujah. It has been explained. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I asked us to open to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Let's look at it. It said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. Say that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Glory to God. Let's look at this critically. Say, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. Profitable for doctrine. And doctrine brings about what? Reproof. Reproof will bring forth correction. Correction will bring forth training, paideia, instruction in righteousness. Glory to God. Now look at that verses 17. It says that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. The man of God gets equipped for every good work, meaning the result of proper explanation will be seen in a man's conduct on how he handles the word of God and how he handles things that pertain to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So it will be seen in a man's conduct. You see, Paul tells Timothy in chapter 2, before now, let's go to chapter 2, verses 15. I want to start from verse 14. I'll read from verse 14 into verses 18. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Hallelujah. To the ruin of the hearers. Verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved by God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. It's a rightly dividing the words of truth. Now we went to verse 16. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like ulcer, canker. Him he calls the name Hermanos and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that there is no race, that saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we see Paul charge Timothy. He says, be diligent to present yourself, to show yourself, hallelujah, to show yourself as one who is approved by God. And how would he do it? With the way he handles the word of God. That's why you see, the showing, the diligency is in the ministry, is in the message, hallelujah. Now he tells him to shun profane and idle babblings. How would he do that? With proper explanation of the word. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So that's why I say spiritual growth will be seen in how a man handles the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will be seen in how a believer behaves. So spiritual growth will also be seen in a person's character, in a person's conduct. In chapter 1, verse 3, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he tells him, he says, you know how you ought to conduct yourself. There's such a thing as Christian conduct. There's such a thing as Christian conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know, Christian conduct is such that is developed from proper explanation of the scriptures. Do you understand that? It's such that you walk in when the scripture is properly explained to you. Very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So because we cannot overflog, listen, you cannot overflog the right kind of explanation. You cannot overflog contextual reading. You cannot overflog reading the scriptures the right way. Because even Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that when we read anagnoskio, careful study, anagnoskio, ana means to read over again, to go through it again, carefully, hallelujah, to read it again, glory to God. And that is why, part of the reasons why when you come to church, you should have the writing material. You know, writing in a service or in a, when you come to church, not jotting down when you come to church is, let me look for a good word. Hallelujah. It's actually the act of pride. Hallelujah. Because, you know, as you study and you write, you still go back to read through with the word of God. You read through the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So whether where was I? How did I even get to this? Okay. I just flew. Glory to God. So you cannot overflow recontextual reading. You have to read in context. You have to read the scripture in context. Hallelujah. Very important. Hallelujah. Okay. We are looking at Jesus' teaching in John chapter 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I said that teaching started from chapter 13. You have to read through. Then in chapter 15, he began to talk about something very important, which will start it off. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 15 of John. You see, like I said, and I will always say, Kenneth Hagin will say, if you take a scripture out of context, you can give it any meaning which is wrong. Hallelujah. You can give it any meaning that is outside what it was intended to do or what it was. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we all know there are several scriptures. When you take them out of context, you just give it anything. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things. All things means everything with the exception of nothing. Still in Unko. Is no. Hallelujah. You understand? So you have to understand contextual reading to be able to deal with that, to be able to know what the all things is referring to talks about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, let's just flip John chapter 15. And we said, Jesus said rather, I am the vine, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear much fruit. Hallelujah. And we're able to look at it. We said the branch doesn't produce fruit. Right? We say the branch doesn't produce fruit. The branch bears the fruit of the vine. So it is the vine that produces the fruit that the branch bears. Hallelujah. So we looked at the word to bear, which means to bring forth. It implies to bring forth, to display, to show. Hallelujah. To show. He says, hallelujah. He said, every branch in me that bears fruit. So to bear, we see what to bear is. Let's look at the word fruit. Fruit is, from that Greek word, kapos. Kapos. It implies the result of a work. The result of a work. The product of an accomplished task or an ongoing deed. It implies the result of a work, the result of a work, the product of an accomplished task, the product of an accomplished task or an ongoing deed. The product of an ongoing deed. Hallelujah. So it's very important we know this. Glory to God. Because what we just said now, we would see as we progress. Now he said, every branch in me that bears fruit, the Father prunes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he says, whose fruit does it bear? The fruit of the vine. Hallelujah. Now we've seen that verse 2 talks about the branches that are in him. Now, the one that doesn't bear fruit, the Father is not the same branch in verse 6. The one in verse 6, we looked at it from Matthew and we saw that it was not a branch that was in him. Do you understand? It was never in him. Because, listen, also as you progress, you must understand, a tree cannot produce two fruits. A tree can only produce one kind of fruit, right?
Hallelujah.
Meaning the result of everything we're talking about is just one kind of fruit. We cannot produce more than one kind of fruit. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So the tree or the branch in verse 6 is not the branch that is in him. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we must understand that the Father takes care of the branch that is in the vine. I will take note, we said the branch that is, when you talk about the branch and the branch is the work of the vine. The branch and the vine, or the branch is from the vine. The branch is from the vine. The branch is from the vine. The branch does not come to being the vine. The branch comes out of the vine. Hallelujah. So we need to get this as we study. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's do something. The branch is from the vine, and the vine is the work of the Father. The vine is the work of the Father. If a tree bears good fruit, is it the branch that is appraised or the farmer? The farmer. Hallelujah. So, did you see that? Because we'll talk about, we'll get there. I'm just taking it step by step. We'll get there. Hallelujah. So, I said the vine is the work of the Father. And I want us to look at that from Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see. Are you in Ephesians 1? Now, I'll read from verses 1 to verses 14. And I'm going to be very fast. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. He said, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Take note of the word. He has blessed us. Watch the tenses. Hallelujah. Just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The word predestined is the word preordered. Hallelujah. Not what we think. Hallelujah. Preordered. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ. Did you get that? Hallelujah. He said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Did you see any? Who is doing all this work here? Who is doing all this work here? Who? The Father. Did you do any work? Did you see yourself working anything here? Hallelujah. You see, everything is the work of the Father. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Hallelujah. Both which are in heaven and on the earth. In him. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Did you see? Did you do anything to obtain it? No. You only believe. Hallelujah. Say, in him also, you've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Did you see? In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. 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 Very important. All these things is God's work. You don't have a path. Did you see yourself doing anything there? No. All we did was to believe. Hallelujah. And remember, last week, while we were discussing on the branch and the vine, on fruits, on the new birth, I said something, I said, it is the Lord that provides in the new, let's use the word New Testament. Okay. In the New Testament, it is the Lord that provides the sacrifice. He provides the offering and he did the sacrifice for us. Did you see that? So we didn't have a part to play. We only believe. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. We believe. And that's what he's saying here. He says, he did all we are in Christ. Verse 12. God does the work. God did all the work in Christ. Hallelujah. So the branch displays what the Father has done in the vine. Did you understand me? The branch displays the work of the Father in the vine. The work of the husbandman in the vine. That is what the branch displays. So if the vine is not well taken care of, what happens? The branch would not produce good fruit. Right? Hallelujah. Did you understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people will say, do good. Try and be good so that you don't wither away as a branch. No. Hallelujah. If the branch withers away, it then means that there's something wrong with the vine. Did you now see why verse 2 will not talk about the branch that doesn't bear fruit, that the Father will do what? Will take care of it. Hallelujah. I roll. So take care of. Do you understand me? To take care of. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? So the cutting off does not mean it to take it away and burn it. No, it will mean to what? To bear it. Do you understand me? To bear it. Glory to God. Because the vine is the work of the Master, of the Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Look at verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. You know, why don't you just pick it up from here? You can give it any meaning. We know all things. I mean, hallelujah. All things. You fell inside, go to all things work together for good. Glory to God. So, and we know that all things, remember, I could still remember when we were having the message last, that was around September last year, on the kinds of righteousness. We said, when you look at the word all things, you must read it in context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to look at it in context. He says, and all we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Did you see? Those who are called according to the purpose, to his purpose. He said, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. The word conform is the word to make like. To make like. Hallelujah. Is the word that is pronounced somorphos. Somorphos. S-O-M-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-S. Hallelujah. To make like. Now he said, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Hallelujah. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, from this, you see that, you know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Where? In Christ. Glory to God. So the laborer of the vine is the husbandman. The one who works, who does the work in the vine is the husbandman, is the Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So therefore, just quickly look at 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Right? And not imputing our trespasses on them, and has committed to us to the same word of reconciliation. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the word to himself. Did you understand that? God was in Christ doing the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, who does the work? Who does the work? The Father. The Father does the work. Can I tell you we'll look at it soon. Can I tell you that when people say I'm working for God, do you know it's a wrong tense? When people use the word I'm working for God, do you know it's a wrong tense? Because if you look at it critically, you will discover that, you know, remember, we are the branch, right? And the branch bears the fruit of the vine. And the fruit of the vine the fruit of the vine is the work of the Father. Did you get that? So what you do is that you bear the fruit of the vine. That is to say, look at what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and has given us the word of reconciliation. So therefore, what we do is God working through us. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So God works through us, or we showcase the work of God when we do the things of ministry. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, he will say, we are his workmanship. Poema. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece. You find the same word let me leave that a bit. We are his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10, let's go there. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Did you see? For good works. Hallelujah. Remember good works? The way we saw it? Good works. Something, do you understand me? That thing. Which God prepared beforehand that we should do what? Work in them. Take note of that word. Which God prepared that we should do what? Work in them. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where? In Christ. Where is workmanship? In Christ. Did you see that? Where is workmanship? In Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Now he now said that we should walk in them. Where is workmanship in Christ Jesus? Created unto good work. Hallelujah. That we should walk in them. Now, that is our role to play. Our role is to do what? Is to walk in them. Hallelujah. What is the then? The work in what? In what the Father has done. What has the Father done? What we just finished reading. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 into chapter 2 verses 8. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So we walk in the light of it. Glory to God. Did you get that? All he did. All the Father has done is in him. He said, in whom we have redemption through this blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. If you read verse 13, he says, whom after you've trusted, you've heard the word. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, in whom having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. If you read again in verse 17, he said that God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. Hallelujah. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavens, far above principalities and powers and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and has given it to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you are made alive. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Let that you read. Hallelujah. You are made alive. Who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Among whom we also once had our conduct, we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and in the and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead and trespassing, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that we should walk in the light of these things. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our role is to walk in the light of the work of the Spirit. Did you get that? Because I said all that God did in all that, what I said, the fruit is the work of the vine, which is the work of the Spirit. Walk, W-O-R-K. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see that is we just read Ephesians, and I just showed you the work of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we should walk in the work of the Father. Now, what is the work of the Father again? No, we've just read a bit of it. We're going to look at more. Hallelujah. But all through New Testament Greek, I want to quickly run through this. All through New Testament Greek, two words are used in qualifying or used in translating the word work. Do you understand the work? And now one of it is ergon, E-R-G-O-N, hallelujah, which means a deed, hallelujah, a deed or one's doing. Do you understand me? And I know we spoke about that when we talked about taking heed and the be careful during our GPLC, right? Ergon, E-R-G-O-N, hallelujah. You find the same word in Ephesians, chapter 4, and somebody says, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay? Okay? Glory to God. Another word used is the word energio. Energio. Energio has to do with, you find the same word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, verse 11. Hallelujah. Verse 6, verse 11. You find the same word in Romans 7, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6, 4, verse 12, Galatians 3, 5, Galatians 5, 19. The same word and several other things. I just took out some. Hallelujah. It implies an ongoing work. It implies, something that is, listen, take it like this, something that is effective and is ongoing. Something that is effective and ongoing, or ongoing and effective. Hallelujah. So, do you understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So those are words used to qualify the works in the New Testament. Now, when you now ask, what are the works of the Father? Meaning, the works of the Father is something that is ongoing, or the deeds of God. We will say the works of the Father will now be all what God did in Christ for the believer and what he is doing in the believer. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The same word, energio. Let's look at that. Look at verses 12. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Look at the tenses he uses. As I've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The word walk, first of all, used, which is said, when I say walk out your salvation, is the word agon. Hallelujah. Or agon. E-R-G-O-N. Agon. Hallelujah. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Ah, yeah, yeah. Glory to God. Work out the salvation with fear and godly reverence and trembling. For it is God. Now, he's not explaining that. He doesn't say, for it is God who works. Did you see that? He says you work out with it. Now, when he says work out your salvation, he's talking about thee. Hallelujah. Then he doesn't say, that salvation, it is God. It is the work of God. Do you understand me? It is God who works in you. Glory to God. It is God who works in you. A God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasures. Did you get that? Automatically it tells you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has given explanation to verse 12. It's God who works in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it tells them, work out your salvation, meaning in their conduct. Hallelujah. But it says, God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So God is at work in the believer. God works in the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You say, you can also say, the believer, okay, I've said that already. The believer doesn't work for God. I'm saying it again. The believer doesn't work for God. I'm not saying it authoritatively. The believer doesn't work for God. Rather, God is at work in the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rather, God is the one that works in the believer. So God does his work through the believer. You understand me? God does his work through the believer. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:19. Quickly. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I'll be very fast. It says, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing our trespasses to death, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Let's go back to verse 19. I didn't know when I jumped into 20. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing our trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, what is not the word of reconciliation? What God was doing in Christ is doing in us. Hallelujah, because we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So it's God's work. It's God doing his work through us. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 3. Remember, we are looking at what is the work of the Father, right? What is the work of the Father in us? What is the work of the Father in us? Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Galatians 3, verse 2. Let me start from verse 1. Say, oh foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Chapter 4, verse 4. And take both together. By by the hand of faith. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, hallelujah, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of the son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if so, and if a son, then the heirs of God through Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What is the work of God? Romans chapter 8. I mean, just take note of what you are saying. It says, God sending forth his son to our heart. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Are you Romans chapter 8? Verse 14. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The word for led is the word ago. Hallelujah. Meaning to bring forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now it talks about the new birth. Glory to God. Now it says, for you do not receive, verse 15 tells you that, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father. Hallelujah. He said, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses 13 of Ephesians chapter 1. He says, in whom you've trusted, after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, in whom having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Let's look at, you see, very important. And that is why I said, you must actually take note of what Jesus was discussing from chapter 13 into chapter 14 into chapter 15. Hallelujah. You see, the work of the Spirit, listen, the work of God or God's work in the believer is his Spirit. Because, you know, if you listen to what Jesus was saying in chapter 14, let's go to John 14. Look at John 14 critically. Let's look at it. Let's now see what was Jesus really communicating before he started talking about and why did he, Jonathan, there's some questions you ask yourself as you study how, or if you just jump into chapter 15, you now ask yourself how or why did he flow and start talking about the vine? You need to understand why. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 14. Let's look at chapter 14 into 15. Let's see what he was talking about. I'll just pick out verses. I'll read verse 1. I'll call the next verse. I'll read after I'm done. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. Not mansions of brick. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go prepare a place for you. Meaning he's talking about what will happen, right? So talking about the new birth. Hallelujah. I was talking about the new birth. Hallelujah. Now, look at what it says. Look at verse 6. It says, and Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. Verses 7. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. For now you know him and have seen him. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was referring, see, what Jesus was talking about from chapter 13 to 14 was the work of the Spirit. Do you understand me? What will happen in the new birth? The work of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? He was trying to he was talking to them about what God will do, or what he will happen, or what he will do. He said, verses 18. He says, the spirit of truth, let me start from verse 16. And I pray the Father, He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, the word even is not there. It said the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees, neither sees Him nor know Him. But you know Him, for He dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He doesn't know what He will do. Hallelujah. I will come to you. The new birth. Hallelujah. You understand me? And do you understand that? The new birth. Look at verse 23. He says, and Jesus said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come and make our home with him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, from there, you now see, hear him say, I am the true vine. Do you understand? I am the true vine. And the first thing he tells you is the work of the Father. Do you understand me? So meaning what Jesus was communicating to them that made him to relate this narrative to them was the work of the Father. Do you understand me? He was relating to them the work of the Spirit in us. Do you understand that? So that was what's relating to them. If you read chapter 15, verse 26, he says this, verse 26 of chapter 15, he says, but when the helper comes, he's still talking about the Spirit. Whom I will send to you from the Father. He said, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Hallelujah. 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 Verses 13 of chapter 16. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Do you understand? He's talking about the works of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the work of God in the believer is the Spirit in the believer. Did you get that? That's the work of God. He's the Spirit. He said, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that is the work. So if you read chapter 15, which you are supposed to do, from verse 1 to verses to the end, and you read, it is good that he was talking about the work of the Spirit. Let me just take you through from verse 14 quickly. It says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer, I'm reading John 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. Did you see that? But I call you friends. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits. Did you see that? To go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Glory to God. And this thing I command you, love one another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, bearing fruit is the manifestation of Christ in us. Listen. Bearing fruit is the manifestation of Christ in us, seen by men. I'll put it like this. So bearing fruit is the manifestation of Christ or of Christ in out. Do you get that? Christ in out. Do you understand? Christ is also is showing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Paul tells them to walk in them, he means for them to walk in the light of it. So, therefore, in the light of what? Listen, remember I said the fruit is, the vine is the work of the Father, right? Right? The fruit is the work of the Father. It is not your work. What I've been trying to say all this is that the walking is not your work. Do you understand me? The walking is not your work. Your path is to bear the fruit. Verses 16 of John. Let me read it again to you. He says, I do not choose you. I mean, you did not choose me, sorry. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You should bear fruit. Do you understand me? You should bear fruit. Your role is to bear fruit, not to walk the fruit. You know what I mean? The fruit is the work of the master. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So therefore, listen. To bear fruit, if we say to bear is to show, right? And fruit is the result of an ongoing work or a completed work. We can now say, when Jesus told them, so we should go and bear fruit, it will not mean to show or to bring forth the result of the spirits at work in you. Do you understand me? So bearing fruit will not be to show forth the result or, the result of the spirit at work in you. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? To show forth, okay, let me put it, remove the word result. That word result doesn't really sound nice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So put it like this, to show forth the spirit working in you. That is better off said. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Remove the word result. So bearing fruit will not mean you are showing forth what the spirit of God is doing in you or has done in Christ in us. Do you understand me? What the Spirit has done in Christ in us. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And verse 17 tells us that fruit is what? Look at it. Verse 17 tells us is what? We should walk in love. Hallelujah. Guys, what he said, he says, and this thing that I commanded that you should love one another. Did you get that? So when he said the fruit should remain, meaning your love food should stay. Hallelujah. You don't love today and stop tomorrow and love next. Let your love remain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. I've moved up a bit. Just a little bit. Even as we begin to conclude for today. So I said, the work of the Spirit, listen, is the fruit itself, right? The work of the Spirit. The fruit is the work of the Spirit, right? Was that what I said? Yes, that's what I said. Okay. Glory to God. So, listen to this. Because the vine is the work of the Father, listen, and the branch came from the vine. The branch did not join the vine. It came from the vine. Listen, I want to draw something. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Remember, there is the work of the Spirit, which I say salvation is the work of the Spirit. Did I say that? Maybe I didn't say that. I skipped that. Salvation is the work of the Spirit. I have it here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm jumping. Hallelujah. Salvation is the work of the Spirit. Now, bearing fruit, listen to this, is the work in the Spirit. Bearing fruit is a work in the Spirit. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. Quickly. Galatians 5, 16. Woohoo, my Bible is done. Galatians 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill, teleo, discharge. Hallelujah. The word fulfill, the word discharge. You will not discharge the lust of the flesh. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not discharge the works of the flesh. Look at verse 18. It says, for if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Please, the word if. There is no conditional. Hallelujah. It's a statement of fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I said, you are led. The word led is
the word ago.
Hallelujah. So if you are born of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And which he confirms in chapter, in verses 13. Okay, no, from verses 11. He says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could not. I could wish that those who trouble you to wrestle would even cut themselves off. For brethren, you have been called to liberty. Liberty from the law. That's what it's referring to. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But true love. Did you see that? True love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He says, and I'm list out the works of the flesh. But look at verse 16. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, which is a resultant effect of what? The walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? Did you get that? When you walk in the Spirit, you produce the fruit of the Spirit are manifested. How should I put it? Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is the work, or is a walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is the work of the Father. Did you get that? I just played around the word walk and walk. Do you understand? I just played around that word walk and walk. Walk and walk. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I said something here. He said, bearing fruit is the work in the Spirit. And you know, you should understand that this verse 18, you don't just, what it means is that because you are born of the Spirit, you are not under the law. That is what he was telling them there. Because remember, you are supposed to have read from chapter 1. Hallelujah. From chapter 1. If you read chapter 2, verse 2, that they have received the Spirit. Do you understand me? So, if you read through from chapter 1 into chapter 4, Paul, they are not having issues with whether they are born of the Spirit or not. Paul was only correcting a conduct. Do you understand me? Because they've received different messages and they began to go into legalism and some funny things. Do you understand me? So, Paul is now telling them, because you are born of the Spirit, you're not under the law. It was a statement of fact. Do you understand me? It's not, if you do this, you will not get this. No, it's a statement of fact. Because you are born of the Spirit, you are not under the law. It happens. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Not, you can be in the Spirit and still, you can still be born again and still be under the law. Because Paul himself said, if you are led, you know, brother, not every believer is led. Do you understand? Not every believer is led. Some are led, some are leading themselves. I remember one funny thing I used to say then. Father, thank you. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, are the heels of God. So you move from being a nepio to becoming a heels. If not, if God has been leading everybody, how can we have different messages? Some people are not being led by God. Some people are just leading themselves, just trying to justify nonsense. Hallelujah. Thank God. Glory to God. The very first day I saw that the word led is the word ago, and it means new birth. I say, hey, someone. Do you understand? Someone. Yea. The Father and his family. No, the Father and the sons. I remember one message like that we have. Ha! I say, hey, someone has gone. Working with the Father, yeah, that is the message. Someone has gone. Remember, you move from Nepios. Now take you to 1 John. I write to you, children, Nepi. I write to you. I say sermon. Just one word scatter the whole sermon.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He's talking about the new birth.
So it's not about whether you are led by the Spirit.
Do you understand me?
Hallelujah. It is your duty to walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires. You will not fulfill. You will not discharge the wantings of the flesh. Now, here's the two things. Does it mean, now that takes you to verses 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it means that branch that doesn't bear fruit is the branch that is not working in the Spirit. Did you see that? Did you see that? That branch is not working in the Spirit. Does that mean that branch is no longer in the vine? No. It now destroys a whole lot of philosophy that some people have. Do you understand me? You are camera, hellfire. No. Do you understand? Hallelujah. You are camera, hellfire. Carnality. You know, God cannot receive a carnal person. Who were you before you got saved? And after you got saved, you are still in the flesh. You are still carnal. Not carnal. You know what I mean? Please, don't rub me in. Hallelujah. You are still in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
So to bear fruits is to show forth the workings of the what? The work of the Spirit, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and Paul has said we should walk in them, walk in the light of these things. Glory, hallelujah. Look at verses 25. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Another thing. Meaning, if we don't live in the Spirit, have you? No, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is telling them, you remember in chapter 2, verse 2, he said, you were born of the Spirit, right? He shows them that they have the Spirit of God in their hearts, right? Hallelujah. Now that is Paul's definition of the new birth. We have the Spirit of, or that is the definition of the new birth, the Spirit of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul now says, if we live in the Spirit, it's not a condition that we can live outside the Spirit. No. Hallelujah. So you can put this word, because we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Do you understand me? So we're walking in the Spirit because that is, so walking in the Spirit is walking in our own. It's not something abstract. Hallelujah. It's not something abstract. You are not being configured again. No. Do you understand me? Walking in the Spirit is walking in your own, in the consciousness of who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we walk in our own when we walk in the Spirit. So therefore we can say, you know, even John 2 in his writing, John, 1 John chapter 3, which we saw, we showed us, or from his writing, 1 John chapter 3 from verse 10. Can we quickly rush to verse 10? Is it verse 10 now? Verse 14 rather. Let's rush to 1 John chapter 3 verse 10 quickly. I said we begin to round up now. Trying to round up. 1 John 3. I'll be beat fast. Verse 10. He said, indeed the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. So practicing righteousness is love. Hallelujah. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Hallelujah. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous.
John automatically goes back to Genesis, and he did what? And he looks at the narrative of Cain and Abel and gives an explanation to it. Hallelujah. So Cain will not be the work in the flesh. Do you understand me? Cain will represent the work in the flesh. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Did I say work in the flesh now?
Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not actually what I wrote to say, but I just said it. Okay. Glory to God. Okay. Let's go ahead. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. It's the same thing Jesus spoke about in John chapter 15, verses 18. Now he said, do not marvel, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He said, we know. We are aware. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we love the brethren. Listen to this. Loving the brethren does not make you born again. That does not make you be in the vine. Do you understand? I said that. I said that last week, right? Did I say it last week? I said something about his disciple, being his disciple. I said it now. But I not say it like this. Glory to God. Okay. Loving the brethren does not, listen, what I mean by does not make you his disciple, meaning you find even people that are not Christ show love. I've seen. Do you understand me? I've seen. But because they show love does not mean they are in Christ. Do you understand? Does not mean that they are in Christ. I say, his brother is showing love. No. I don't know. Do you understand me? Glory to God. So that is just a simple explanation of what I just said. Now he said, by this we know. The word know is the word ginosko. Hallelujah. By this we know. Ginosko will imply knowledge by experience. Hallelujah. By this we know that we have passed from death to life. To pass from death to life, what scripture comes to your mind when you read this? Colossians 1:13, right? Right? Then you look at John. I'm the bread of life. He that eats of me shall not die, but shall have the light of the light of life. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, he says, we know that we have passed from death to life. Because we love the brethren. And he who does not love his brother abides in death. Hallelujah. Now look at verses 18. He said, my brethren, let us not love in words or in tongues, but in deeds and in truth. Hallelujah. Verse 23. And this is the commandment, that you should believe on. Okay, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandment, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, the two, hallelujah, you believe and you love, as he gave us commandments, hallelujah, command. So the two commands in verse 23 will be to believe, which is salvation, and to walk in love. Hallelujah. So therefore, we will not say salvation is the work of the Spirit. I'm not saying it again. Salvation is the work of the Spirit, and we walk in the light of salvation when we love. Did you see that? We walk in the light of salvation. We walk in the light of salvation when we love, when we show love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the fruit of the vine is his sacrificial love for us. Do you see that? The fruit of the vine is his sacrificial love towards us or for us, and we in turn should produce the same fruit, or let's say produce, we should bear the same fruit. I'm trying to watch my senses. Hallelujah. And we also should bear the same fruit as the vine, which is what? To show forth the love of the vine to others. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the fruit of the vine is the sacrificial love towards us or for us. And we as the branch, we bear the same fruit of the vine in the way we show love to others. That is better said. In the way we show love to others. So when a believer say, I'm fruitful. Or yeah, he tell you, I say, my cell is fruitful. And I say, how? And I say, my cell members are plenty. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bought a car and somebody wrote, I put it online, somebody wrote and said, thank God for your fruitfulness. You know that there's a problem. Hallelujah. That person will like material wealth. Hallelujah. So, in Christianity, our fruitfulness is not in material possession. Our fruitfulness is not in material possession. In fact, when Jesus speaks about prosperity, he doesn't relate it to owning physical things. In fact, a man who was rich in this world came to meet Jesus that he wants to follow. He wants from Mosaic that I will follow. He said, go and sell all everything. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? Huh? And so in Christianity, our prosperity, our fruitfulness, our blessedness is not in material things. In fact, again, Jesus never used blessed for anything material. The disciples never used blessed for anything material. So you bought two hearts and say, you are blessed. You are fruitful. You know, conventionally, when Pentecostals, I have this time I say Pentecostal since. Hallelujah. I don't run, I'm far. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where are you? I'm standing alone. I know day. Glory to God. You can be Pentecostal. I'm not. Hallelujah. But when a Pentecostal pastor tells you, you have this is a fruitful week, you'll be thinking of your bank account. Hallelujah. I remember one time we were having something in school, and I asked us to pray that would be fruitful. We were praying in my unbelief. In my, spiritual growth is in proper explanation. In my understanding, we were praying until they now told us to come to carry the next day while we were coming, we should come with our passbook. We don't use ATM too much. We use passbook. That's the one we do. We go with passbook to school. So, me, I don't understand the meaning of come with passbook. When I came with passbook, but I did not come with biro. That they will not tell me to write a hair. And now release my... Jonathan, because your passbook was like your check. I know it's student... I don't want to call the name of the bank. It's student school. So, I could give you my passbook. And I just had to pay this person. You take it to the bank, because it's at school. They go pay. Not you can't do it outside. Jonathan, it was like a check. So I then carried it to school, to church. Oh, now go to church. I did not go with Bairo. I'll be barrack boy. Jonathan. So you must not my money. So then I said, okay. As we were praying, we spoke in tongues on a Friday. We started speaking in tongues around 5. It was 5 to 8. We were praying in tongues. The brother. Our leader, I will not call this, if I call the name, his position, you will know the person, or you know the place. So let me just keep it one side. Our leader, I said, bring out your passbook. I just brought it out. I don't get pen, so I cannot borrow. Now, begin to call the account number. Call the amount you want to locate that account and say it in tongues. Hey!
Oh, luau. Oh my God. That is people that were, our tongues was on low key before. Ah, and then I know say people need money. Some brethren says what? Healthy, but let 20,000. We were shouting, tongues increase. In fact, you're no longer praying in the spirit, you're praying in the spirit and the material world. If you know what I mean, praying in the spirit, and you know, when you tell such kind of person to pray for spiritual growth, you just be praying in tongues. You don't know what to say. You don't say one English. But when you are, maybe the spirit of God does not understand Naira. You now call the amount. Locate! I don't saw my leader shouting, locate! Locate! Ah! After that, I now went to meet and say, bro, the message, you know, such kind of things you have to. I don't want to be saying, bro, ah! This meeting today was powerful. You say, ah, my brother is powerful. You know? Pastor Kubu will call it OJ. It's powerful. But, bro, ah! Bro, that's the way we do, no good. He said, what? I said, how can you be calling money to locate account? Because just before then, say God will help me. Eh? Just before then, one of my friends, they mistakenly paid in 50-something thousand into his account. A student was already saying he was not going to school. Now I knelt down and I begged him. I said, ah, let's go back. They go put your name around school. Oh. It's a lie. The Lord has done it. But he was not a Christian, so I was able to convince him. We went there on a Monday morning. When we went there, it happened on a Friday evening. So we went there and we just told the woman, CO, 50K. Do you understand? Because he went to withdraw 5,000 naira. The woman, rather than withdrawing 5,000, and now credited 50,000. Do you understand? The woman was now crying. He said, you know, because of this, and I came to work all through Saturday. That she could not recover the account. She did not know the account. Do you understand? That she could not call over the account. In fact, you know what when that lady was saying those things, I pitied for her. Because she said she would have paid it from her salary. Then automatically I already have known. If not, I would have prayed like them. Do you understand? I already know that, man, this lady, when they cry like this. The lady was thanking the brother. Okay. The guy. You understand? I was not now forming Chris. Don't worry. He said, no. Should I give you money? We said, no. You understand? No. The guy didn't like all what I did that day, though. He didn't like it. You understand? He didn't like all what I did that day, but we needed to do it. You understand? So while we were praying, I already knew. Ah! I said, bro, do you want somebody to make a mistake and lose his job? He said, no! Bro, smart! You see, this is what I used to tell you. You need to come up. That was how I learned something. Come up here. I learned a lot that year. He said, come up here. Like God will tell John. John was in the air. So God will tell John, come up here. That you will see. You have to come up here. I said, bro, wait see. He said, see. That the same thing happened to me last 2 months. That I did not know who transferred. Say it was 100 or some thousands of money into his account. So he called his father, I called his mother, I called his uncle. Nobody agreed. And he went to spend it. I said, bro, what if somebody has suffered for that money? He said, no, he's the angel of the Lord. I said, well, since your angel start to work for bank? He said, bro, smart. I said, come up here. And I explained my testimony of that guy to him. He said, that one is just, it's just mistake. I'm telling you, when the angel of God wants to do something, do not limit God in your mind. Then I was like, and I said, okay, sir. Who am I? I said, okay, sir. Thank you, sir. But you not pray. Hallelujah. I don't know how many people collected, got that money that they wanted. Hallelujah. But you see, it's very important. He tried to convince me. He tried small. He tried. He did a lot. But I still held my ground. Hallelujah. I still held my ground. Do you understand me? So, you see, it is not fruitfulness that somebody will lose his job. Do you understand me? Or that you have much money, you say, I'm fruitful. No. Or, do you understand me? What Jesus was communicating and what Paul
In fact, if you read, I said something last week. I said if you read Paul's writings, and you know, as we conclude next week, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to measure ourselves on Paul's writing and Paul's prayer to the church at Colossae, the church in Ephesus, the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi. We're going to look at how, you know, you discover that Paul spoke in his prayer to them and his writing to them about love and being fruitful. You discover that even in Paul's usage, listen, in Paul's usage of fruitfulness, he spoke about love. Do you understand that your love may abound much more? Being fruitful. Do you understand me? So the fruitfulness is showing forth love. Hallelujah. To show forth the love of God. So, our fruitfulness is not in material things. Our fruitfulness is shown to lives. Do you understand me? It's in persons. Our fruitfulness is in persons. It's in individuals. It's in lives. We show love. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our walk in the Spirit is the walk of love. So I wrote here and I said, our fruitfulness is not in materials, but in persons. This is our belief. This is our believer's conduct. It's our believer's conduct. In any Christian gathering, take note of this, in any Christian gathering, in any believer's meeting, in any believer's gathering, our fruitfulness, let me use it that way, because we know what I mean, our fruitfulness takes preeminence. It's very important. In our believers' gathering, our showing of love, very important. Do you understand me? Very important. I could say it takes preeminence over several or every other thing in our believers' gathering. Do you understand? In our believers' gathering, it takes preeminence. We show love to the brethren. We show love. You know, John will say, how would you say you love God when you don't even love your brother? Do you understand me? Jesus will now rework love in Matthew. He said, Moses said to you, love your neighbors, right? Yeah. And hate your enemies, right? Yeah. And Jesus will say, but I say to you, love your enemies, right? And do what? Pray for them who despitefully use you. You know, some people have now coined words. Those who call themselves deliverance ministers. They're having strange doctrines. Deliverance ministers. They will not tell you, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. But he didn't tell you the kind of prayer. That is wickedness in the highest order. You understand? You say the kind of prayer. So you pray for them to die. Send fire. You know what those kind of prayer does to a believer? Let me tell you what it does to a believer. It creates strife in your heart. It creates hatred inside your heart. Do you understand me? Watch those kind of people. If you wrong them, they don't show love. They just say you suffer not the wish to live but to die. They always think their problem is with man. Not knowing that they are the problems of themselves. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus Christ now reworks what Moses said and now tells us who the enemy is and tells us what Moses was talking about. When Moses said hate the enemy, Moses was not referring to your neighbor to kill. Do you understand? So Jesus reworks it. Now says, love your enemies. That person in your mind who you think is your enemy, human beings, say love them. Hallelujah. Because there is the enemy. Do you understand? Jesus never said the enemy is who we should love. Do you understand? So he looks at what they know and says, love that person. We spoke about it yesterday, right? Hallelujah. We spoke about it yesterday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's very important. Very, very important. We show love. We walk in the Spirit. Paul will say, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. Love, joy, peace. So, you see, this fruit seen in us. We're not the ones trying to. We're only walking in the light of who we are. Hallelujah. How we produce this. Hallelujah. Did I say produce again? This is Nigerian language. Hallelujah. And then this fruit just, it shows us. As in, we bear it. Hallelujah. We'll look at it next week. Because we're going to be rounding up next week on this topic. We're going to look at it from Paul's angle. We're going to look at Paul's writings, all three. Paul's writings, look at the other apostles, how they spoke about this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's important. We show love to the brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love because he loved us first. We love because he loved us. So we walk in love because of his work. Because of the work of the Spirit in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed today? Okay, turn to somebody and tell the person what you've learned.